Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shabbos Daf Kuf Lamed Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. We begin today's Gemara 10 lines from the top of Daf Kuf Lamed Vav. A word of introduction is certainly in order. During the previous shiur, toward the end of our previous shiur, the discussion involved a child born in its eighth month of pregnancy. Such a child without modern medical intervention is viewed as dead, or we call that a nafel. In the course of our discussion, we mentioned how is it then that we do a bris milah, a circumcision, on a child who is 8 days old when basically until it reaches 30 days of age, would we say that it leaves its nafel status? In other words, we are not sure as to whether the child is going to live. So, in the course of that discussion, we mentioned that the reason we allow a Shabbos milah, which involves Shabbos violation for a child whom we're not sure is actually going to survive, because when he's born, he might be born after 9 months of pregnancy, but in actuality, we're not sure. Maybe it was only 8 months of actual pregnancy. So the Gemara mentioned that we do the bris milah mimonavshach, either way you look at things. If the child lives, so it's a proper bris milah. And if the child doesn't live, so it's considered like mechatech bebosor, as the Gemara said, three lines from the top of our Omid Kuflamid Vav. It's like cutting slaughtered meat. And hence, there's no Shabbos violation. With that background in mind, we pick up our Gemara Omar Abaye. You see a house marking on the side of our Gemara under our Nosei Mivne heading. We have a house shape featured, and we've noted Machlokes Abaye v'Rova. Rova will appear also later in a house. Bemahu Daitom Sheltanakamo Rabbi Yosi Bar Yehuda. What is the opinion of these tanoim, beinyon vlad behemo, an animal that gave birth, shelo kolu lo chadoshav, that didn't experience a full-term pregnancy, which we would call a nefel, im nechshav kemes oy loy, is such an animal that is born after an incomplete pregnancy considered as if it's dead? La'abaye, machlokes, according to Abaye, this will be a machlokes tanoim. The Rava, as far as Rava is concerned, the kule almo nechshav meis. Everyone will view it as if it's dead. And this machlokes then will have ramifications for our issue of how we look at a person before it reaches 30 days of age. So now the Gemara. Omar Abaye, ketanoi. Ketanoi means this issue of do we consider a nafel as dead and therefore cutting it, even though it appears to be alive, but cutting it would be like cutting slaughtered meat. Or do we not say that, but rather a nafel, something that did not have a complete term pregnancy, is not considered dead, and therefore cutting it on Shabbos would be like cutting anything that's alive, and it would constitute a chabura, the imposing of an injury. So now the Gemara continues. After Abaye says kitanoi, the way we look at the nefel is a machlokas tanoim. So we have a pasuk, and we want to note that this pasuk is in the context of what's called Tumas Nevela. This is the Tuma, the ritual impurity that is generated by an animal that merely died, as opposed to being slaughtered. So the pasuk says, V'chiyomus min ha-behema asher hi lochem lo'ochla. A behema that ordinarily you would be able to eat happened to die. And the pasuk speaks about that it communicates Tumas Nevela. Now this pasuk is inclusive of Lehavi ben Shmoina She'ein Shchitasu Metaraso. Included in the Tumas Nevela is an animal born after 8 months of pregnancy. A cow experiences a 9 month gestation period. So here we're dealing with an 8 month pregnancy. Slaughtering such a cow will not remove the tumah from it. In other words, even though slaughtering in general removes tumas nevela, in this case it won't work because, as we'll see shortly, it's like you're cutting something that's already dead. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim Shchitasu Metaroso, they are of the opinion that slaughtering it is effective in removing the tumah. In other words, it would not be metame as a nevela. My lav beha komiflegi. This is Abaye's point. Is it not so that this is their point of machlokis, the mor sovar chayhu? That would be Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon are of the opinion it is considered alive. An 8 month pregnancy is something that is considered alive. Umor sovar mace hu. And the Tanakama would seem to label it as dead. So that the issue that we were mentioning above on the second, third line from the top of this Omid, that cutting the flesh of a nafel would be, if the child in that case doesn't make it to 30 days, so all we were doing is cutting the flesh of something that's dead. Well, that would seem to match the opinion of the Tanakama alone. And hence Abaye's point, which was a long point. You may have noticed the nun that's encircled to the immediate side of the Gemara text. This is a long point that the issue of how we look at a child born in a as a result of an incomplete pregnancy, do we view it as alive or dead? Omar Rava. Rava responds to Abaye, and he says, Ihachi, if the machloikis is whether we consider it alive versus dead in the case of the animal, so Ademiflegi, instead of arguing Le'inyin Tumavitara, whether or not the Shrita results in removing the Tumas Nevela or not, Liflegu Le'inyin Achila, why not simply state their positions as to whether it's allowed to be eaten as a result of its being slaughtered or not? But they don't seem to be arguing about whether it's allowed to be eaten or not. But if the issue was, do we view it as alive or dead? So if you view it as alive, so slaughtering a live thing results in you can now eat it. If you view it as dead, so it won't. The slaughtering won't be effective. Ella, de kule almo mesu. Rava's approach is that all the Tanoim, that means the Tanakama, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon all agree that it's considered dead. And we should also point out that here too we are starting a long point, and our marking indicates that. So everyone, according to Rava, is in agreement that it's viewed as dead, and therefore no one is going to suggest that slaughtering an animal born after 8 months is going to enable one to eat it. For Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Savri, they who said that the Shechita is effective in being metayeret, Savri Ketrefa, they view the Nefel halachically the same way one would view a Trefa. A Trefa is an animal that has some type of organ defect. So the common example of that is a hole in its lung. Everyone knows that if you were to slaughter an animal and discover such a defect or imperfection, the animal would not be allowed to be eaten. So that even though it was shechted, you can't eat it. However, the shechita of a trefa is effective in removing tumas nevela, as opposed to an animal that merely drops dead, it communicates, it imposes tuma. An animal that is a trefa, that was shechted, does not impose tuma, even though it cannot be eaten. So the Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Elazar are of this opinion. They view the 8-month pregnancy animal that shechted like one would view a trefa. Trefa lav afalgav de me sahi. Is it not so that a trefa, that even though it's like dead, shchitasa mitarasa, slaughtering it is effective in preventing the tumas nevela from setting in? Hacha nami, so too with our nefel, lo ishna, no difference. V'rabbonon lo domi l'trefa. The Rabbonon's response is that the case of the nefel is not like the case of a trefa. Trefa hoysu l'shasa kosher. The trefa had a chance once in its life to being slaughtered properly. When we say properly, we mean resulting in a heter achila, in actually being allowed to eat. Just in the course of time, some type of organ defect set in. Therefore, the shechita is mitaher. Hi, the nefel, which never even made it to the starting gate, it didn't have a full-term pregnancy, lo oisa lo shasa kosher, didn't have a time of permissibility. The chitema, and if you try to argue, but still, trefa mi beten mai ikol amemar, an animal that is born as a trefa, which we know, slaughtering it will be effective, and yet on regarding it, you can't say that it had a shas hakosher. So why treat the trefa mi beten differently than the case of the nefel? And yet, and we do. Hasam yesh b'mino shchita. In the case of the trefa mi beten, there are. It's what it basically is. It's a cow that had a full term pregnancy. So there are other cows that could be shechted. True, the trefa mi beten, the shechita is not going to be effective in enabling you to eat it, but other cows that are born after a full term pregnancy can be shechted to be eaten. Therefore, trefa mi beten is on a higher plane or higher standard than the nefel. Hocha ein b'mino shechita. In the case of an incomplete term pregnancy, there are no cases where the shechita would ever be effective. So that explains the position of the Rabbanan. With that, you can see that we finished Rava's point. And what's important for us is that once you say Lekulei Alma, the Nefel is like Shechita, regarding Shabbos, everyone will view cutting it, as in the case of the Bris Milah, as being Mechatech B'Bosor B'Alma, and hence no Shabbos violation. It's considered like just cutting slaughtered meat. Ibaya laho, mi pligi rabbonon olei de Rav Shimon Gamliel oiloi. Do the chachomim disagree? And here we have an arrow indicating to look back at Kuf Lamed Hey Omid Beis, where we saw Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel's opinion presented. Here the Gemara is asking, do the rabbonon disagree with him? Namely, to allow, let us say, an animal born, a newborn animal, within its first 8 days of life, which Rav Shimon Gamliel says you cannot bring it as a sacrifice. What about the Shitas HaRabbonon on that? So the Gemara. Mi pligi Rabbonon olei de Rav Shimon ben Gamliel oiloi. And im timtzeloma pligi, and if you say that the Rabbanan disagree with Rav Shimon Gamliel being presenting themselves as a more lenient opinion, halacha kamoso o ein halacha kamoso. And we mentioned bringing it as a korban. Let's bring it more down to a, we'll say, more mundane level. Can you shecht it and eat it? So according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, no. And according to the Rabbanan, that is our question. Do they disagree? So we see we have a two-stage question. Is there any machlokis on the topic of a behemoth with it in its first 8 days? And if you say there's a machlokas, do we rule like the Rabbanan or like Rav Shimon Leo? The Gemara attempts to answer this, and the triangles that you see represent those attempts. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading that we should note. The Nosei, Din Vlad Behema, Lifnei Shmoyni Yomim, Aliba Durabonan, Shechokin Al Rav Shimon Leo. Maybe more accurately, the question should be, is Haim Chokin Al Rav Shimon Leo? We want to know the din of the newly born animal within its first 8 days according to the Rabbanan. Number one, Misa Mimokom Achir and Piek Umeis. These are two topics that will come up later in the Gemara. So let us continue now with the Toshma. The triangles, as we said, they represent attempts to settle this question of do the Rabbanan disagree and how should the Halacha go. So the source says, Egel Shenolad B'Yomtov, a calf that's born on Yomtov, Shochtin Oso B'Yomtov. You can shecht it on that very day. So it's clearly within its first 8 days. And Yomtov is a time that you're allowed to shecht meat. So you're allowed to shecht a newly born animal. That would indicate that the halacha is not going to be like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and that the Rabbanan actually disagree. The Gemara rejects this and says, Hocho b'mayaskinon. The case here is the kim le begave shekolu lo chadosha. The owner knows that the animal had experienced a full term pregnancy. Kim le begave means literally, he knows within it, but it means he knows concerning this, that kolu means complete, lo chadosh, it had a full-term, complete pregnancy. So it's not, this source then has no relevance to our example. Our example concerns something that had an 8-month pregnancy. Toshma, another source, v'shoven means they agree. This is a reference to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon that argue whether or not one is allowed to view mumim of an animal on Yom Tov. This machlokus appears in Maseches Beitza, but there is agreement she'im nolad hu umumo imo, if an animal, in this case we're talking about a firstborn, a bechor, is born together with its mum, the firstborn animal that is born blemish-free is brought as a sacrifice and is forbidden for personal meat benefit. It's brought as a sacrifice after it's given to a kohen. However, if you have a firstborn blemished animal, then you can treat it moral. You can treat it basically as mundane meat and slaughter it and eat it. Without, of course, it's not, put it this way, a kohen, it's presented to a kohen, but it's not brought as a sacrifice, so it's treated as mundane meat. There's agreement, if an animal is born on Yom Tov, together with a blemish, as it's born, dayonim that were sitting there, that present at its birth, noticed a blemish. And it says, Shezeh min hamuchan, that as far as halachas of Yom Tov are concerned, which we are halachas of muktza, things that were not muchan, not prepared for Yom Tov, this is within the realm of permissibility regarding Yom Tov use. Shecht it, slaughter it, and eat it. What's the point, though, for us? The point is, you have an animal on its, a newborn animal, that you are shechting, as far as the rules of Bechor are concerned and its holiness, that is, that's not relevant because the blemish is here. And as far as the rules of Kashrus are concerned, this source is telling me you can slaughter it on the very day it's born. So this is seemingly not in conformity to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, and rather it's like the Rabbanan, and we end up ruling like them. In this lenient fashion. The Gemara rejects this. Hochi nami. Here too, shekolu lo chadoshav. The case is where we know that this animal, this bechor, experienced a full-term pregnancy. and hence it's not part of our discussion. Our discussion concerns an animal that's born within its eighth month. Toshma, the Omar of Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Halacha, Kareb Shimon, Ben Gamliel. So you have Shmuel using the term halacha, we dashed underline that. The halacha shall follow Reb Shimon Liel, that you've got to wait 8 days. Halacha michlal de pligi, the fact that the word halacha is used, that's a word that indicates that the issue is a machlokas, and we are citing like one of the opinions. So, shma mino, this is conclusive then regarding our original question. Is there a machlokas and how do we rule? So this would settle the matter. There is a machlokas and we rule like Rav Shimon ben Liel. As we continue in the Gemara, we encounter a new marking on the side under our mivneh structure. The structure, that means mivneh, the structural note, we have a diamond featured, and we wrote here that the diamonds represent shnei shlavim. We also numbered them in the Gemara. In the Gemara proper, there are shnei shlavim, two stages, birur, to clarify, be'ezin esibois chokin shemliel v'rabonon b'mises avlad. Under what circumstances is there this machlokas between shemliel and the rabbonon when a newborn dies? We're going to see nofal min hagag, case of it falling off a roof. And kishapie kumeis, where it showed called the smallest signs of life. It yawned, pieik, it yawned and died. So that's the question: is do we view that as a sign of life or not? So now we turn back to the Gemara. This little introductory note may have appeared to be a bit vague, but it will be clarified. The first diamond, Omar Abaye, Nofal min hagag oichloi ari. The case of Nofal min hagag is, we can call that Misa mimokim acher. That's a death that came as a result of some type of outside cause, falling off the roof. In other words, it's not this is not a reflection of something that's inherently problematic with the animal. Or with the newborn. So if that happened, or it was eaten by a lion, divrei hakol chai hu, everyone will agree that it's considered like fully alive. In other words, and it's not considered a nafel. Ki pligi shepiei kumeis, the machlokes tanoim comes up when the animal merely, after it was born, it yawned and died. In other words, it gave a little sign of life and then died. Before we go further, we have a double star that you see between the lines indicating to look at Rashi. And just a couple lines down from here, you see in the Rashi a double star. We read the Rashi. V'gabi behemon ami, stam vlad behemo sheshoch besoch shmoina, an animal that was slaughtered within 8 days, mutar ba'achila, the lo chazino be reusa. We don't see anything negative. For rov hayoldos einon mapilos, and most animals do not miscarry. So now we turn back to our Gemara. We have to just emphasize that an animal that was slaughtered within 8 days is like the animal falling off a roof. In other words, it's a death from some outside source. So that is not according to this stage of our Gemara, that's not the case of a machlokis. Ki pligi shepiek umes, where the newborn yawned and then died. And the practical application is when we're dealing with a human being, and we'll explain shortly what we mean by that. Because if you're dealing with an animal that died, you can't eat anyway. So we're talking about a newborn, that yawned and died. Mor sovar chai hu. The Tanakama, who argues with Rav Shmuel Leal, will view it as a child that is considered a living child that happened to die. Mor sovar meisu, and Rav Shmuel Leal will say it never had the status of a living child. L'may nafke, mina, what practical difference is there in this analysis? Liftor min hayibum. First of all, what's the din of yibum? A man who married but bore no children with his wife and then died, his brother is expected to marry the widow. If, however, a man dies leaving a child, you know, his first father dies, child remains, even, and that's what we're going to see here, even if the child remains for a short amount of time, you have a person that died leaving a child. In such a case, so that the widow does not marry the deceased's brother. She does not marry her brother-in-law. What we just described is a case where a father died, and shortly after, the offspring that he had yawned and died. According to the Tanakama that says Chai Hu, so there is no Yibum because the father left a child that's considered alive. According to Rav Shmuel Leal, the child was never considered alive. The Gemara now asks, on that which we said at the diamond, just four lines up from here, this question also lasts a number of lines. Nofa min agag o'ochlo ari divrei akol chayhu. Is that so, that if it fell off a roof or was eaten by a lion, it was considered alive and not a nafel? V'ha Rav Papa. And we have to, in our minds, we have to be able to shift back and forth between animal and person. In this case, we'll be focusing on an animal, but it's the same principle, and that is some type of, in this case, external death within shortly after it was born. So we're saying here, or as Abaye said, that if it fell off a roof or was eaten by a lion, everyone would hold that it had the status of full life. So the Gemara asks, is that really so? V'ha Rav Papa v'Rav Huna b'rei d'Rav Yeshua iklu l'bei b'rei d'Rav Idi bar Ovin v'Ovid l'hu igla tilsa v'imama d'shiva. So we have Rav Papa and Rav Huna visiting the son of Rav Idi bar Ovin, and the host made for them a calf, an iglo tilsa. Well, just it's a type of calf, a third born calf, on its seventh day. It's a newly born iglo tilsa. On its seventh day of life, he slaughtered it and prepared it for them. The Amri lay, and the guests, Rav Papa and Rav Huna, said to their host, if you would have waited till the evening, let the full 7 days of this animal's life go by, and then it reaches the evening, the beginning of its eighth day, we would have eaten from it. Now that you slaughtered it so quickly, meaning you didn't wait till the evening, we're not going to eat from it. What do we see from here? And as we pointed out earlier, the shechita, the slaughtering, is like, it's an external form of death, as opposed to some internal sickness and it dropping dead. I killed it through shechita. It's an outside cause. We see, nevertheless, according to Rav Shmuel Leal, that even in the case of a misa bo b'mokom acher, there is a chashash of nefel. That's why they didn't eat from it. So to say, as was said in the diamond above, that nofal min agag, everyone would agree it has a status of chai, that's just not so. The Gemara continues, Ela, and here is a restatement of the points made earlier. If all that the creature did was yawned and then died, everyone would agree it never had the status of something alive. And if you tie that back into the nafgamina we made earlier, in the case of the Yibum, the widow would certainly have to remarry. The husband didn't leave a child that we consider alive. Ki plihi, the machloikis between Rosh Gamliel Netanya and the Chachomim is benofal minagag v'ochlo ari, where it experienced death through an out and through an external cause. Mor sovar mesu, Shumulil says that it's considered dead. And so, and again, we have to emphasize this principle. Nofal minagag is an example of misa mimokam acher. So, in the case of misa mimokam acher, according to Shumulil, Reb Shumulil, it's considered mesu. It's considered as if it's dead. In other words, in the case of, let's say, shchita of the animal within its first 8 days, it simply wouldn't have been effective. Mor sovar chai hu, and the Chachamim would say it's considered alive. And as such, the shchita would have been effective. As we continue in the Gemara, we have a structural note to introduce the bow tie shape that you see, and a double underline that will appear shortly. On the side under the Mivneh heading, the bow tie represents Shnei Maisim Shel Misa Savla Toch Shloshim, two stories involving the death of a child within its first 30 days. The time period within 30 days by a human birth is parallel to the case of within 8 days of an animal birth. The double underline that appears in the Gemara will be highlighting the expression Kimli Bei Shekolu Loi Chadoshav, that I am certain that it had a full-term pregnancy. This expression we saw earlier in our Gemara, in the section above where we saw triangles, and they were responses of the Gemara to what was being brought as a proof in one direction. Nevertheless, we continue here. Brei Deravdimi Bar Yosef. This name is familiar because, let us correct ourselves, it's not, this is a new name. Brei, the son of Ravdimi Bar Yosef, Isyalid Le Hahu Yenuka. He had a child born. Bego Talsin Yomin Shochev, within 30 days, the child died. Yosef Komis Abil Iluyo, and the Brei Deravdimi sat in mourning over the death of his newborn. Omar Le Avua. So Ravdimi, who was his father, grandfather of the dead child, the father said to his son, who was sitting in mourning, he was said to him sarcastically, Tzavrunisa Kobois Lemechal. Tzavrunisa is a term referring to the meal prepared by friends and neighbors for the mourner right after the burial of a deceased close relative. So the father said sarcastically, are you observing mourning in order to get a free meal from your friends and neighbors? In other words, it's clear that Rav Dimi was saying to his son, you don't need to observe a period of mourning on a child that died within its first 30 days. It was never legally considered alive. Armalei, the son who is sitting in mourning, answers his father and says, Kim li bei shekolu lo chadoshav. I know for certainty that the child was the product of a 9 month of a full term pregnancy. And therefore, it doesn't have this dead or nafel status to it. Therefore, I'm observing mourning. Rav Ashi Iklo Bei Rav Kahana. Rav Ashi visited Rav Kahana. Isra Bei Milsa. Bego Talsin Yomin. Same situation of a child dying. Isra Bei Milsa is an expression meaning death. Or we can say Avelus set in. For the death of the child that died within 30 days of its birth. Chazio de Yosef v'komas abeliluyo. Rav Ashi noticed that Rav Kana was observing a mourning period. Omar le lo sover le mor lo holdem Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel halom shum amliyo. So Rav Ashi said to Rav Kana, do you not hold like Rav Yehuda Omar Shmuel, who said halacha karabon Shimon ben Gamliel, which means it's not bechezkas chai, it doesn't have life status until it reaches 30 days, so it doesn't have life status. You shouldn't be observing avelus, mourning. One mourns over he who is alive, not something that never had a status of life. Omale, so Rav Kana answers, Kim liba gave shekolu lo chadoshav. I know with certainty that the child lived or experienced a full term pregnancy, and hence, even though it died within 30 days, it's considered someone that was alive that died, and hence there is the need for mourning. We have a new topic heading on the side of the Gemara. Vlad Shechai Achar Mises Oviv, a child that lived after its father died, Avol Meis Tov Shloshim Yom, but died within 30 days. Ma Hashpo Al Dine Yibum, what effect does this have regarding the laws of Yibum? This is a topic we already mentioned, and therefore we continue in the Gemara. Itmar Meis Besof Shloshim V'Omdo V'Niskacha. A child died within 30 days of its birth, and after a while, the mother got up and married someone else. Again, the background here is that the woman who just married someone else is a woman whose husband died, and after the husband died, the child died. The child was born very close to the husband's death, and within 30 days of the child's life, the child died. After a while, the woman, the widow, married, thinking that, well, she is not zikuka liibum. Namely, her husband died leaving a child. The fact the child died afterwards is a tragedy, but as far as the dinim of Yibum are concerned, she doesn't have a chiyuv Yibum. She doesn't have a Yibum obligation to marry the surviving brother. As we continue in the Gemara, a new marking appears. The house with followed by a squiggle on a Rava, we've noted under the Mivne heading, Shnei Deos Beshitas Rava, two opinions as to what Rava says. So in this case, the woman who's husband died leaving a child which died within 30 days of its birth, and then she later on married someone else and not the surviving brother. Omar Ravino Mishmei de Rava. We continue at the top of Omid Beis. Im Eishes Yisrael Hi, if the new husband is a Yisrael, meaning is a non-Kohen, Choletzes, what we would tell the woman is do chalitza, which is the ritual that releases a woman from a yibum binding. So we say, listen, you have this new husband. Do chalitza, the shoe removal ceremony, with the first husband's brother, and you can continue living with your new husband. And im eishes kohen he, if the second husband happens to be a kohen, eino choletzes, and she doesn't do the chalitza ceremony with the first husband's brother, because a kohen would not be allowed to be married to a woman that did the chalitza ceremony. So what are we saying? We're saying that the second husband, this new husband who is a kohen, is going to be living with her. And obviously we're saying he's living not in sin. So what are we relying on? We're relying on the Shita, the opinion of the Rabbanon, that say that even though it died within 30 days, it's not considered a nafel. And therefore, her first husband died, leaving a living child, one that we do not consider a nafel. For Rav Shravya Mishmei de Rava, a second opinion of Rava says, Achas zu v'achas zu, both cases, choletzes, meaning, even if it's an Ashes Kohen, if she has any intention of marrying someone else, she's got to do chalitza, and if the second husband happened to be a Kohen, she will be forbidden to him. Omar le Ravina le Rav Shravya. Now, we should point out, it's maybe obvious, but Rav Shravya is in effect saying that she must do chalitza. Otherwise, she's still bound to the yavam, to the surviving brother of her first husband. Why is she considered bound? Because the child that died within 30 days never had a life status, didn't have a status of being alive. Therefore, the first husband died, leaving no children, hence she is still bound to the yavam. Omar le Ravina le Rav Shravya. Don't forget, Ravina was at the bottom of Omar Aleph. He was the first opinion that we saw presenting Rava. So Ravina says to Rav Shravya, Be'urta Omar Rava Hachi. Be'urta literally means at night, meaning the previous evening, Rava said like you said, that she is bound yet to the Yavam. Litzafra hodarbe, but in the morning he retracted to say, like me, a more lenient approach, giving the woman the ability to stay with her husband, the Kohen, the new husband, the Kohen, on the grounds that the child that was born had the status of being alive. And hence she was never bound to the surviving brother, the Yavam. Omar Le, Rav Shravya reacts and says, Shari Suha, are we permitting her? Yehei Rava de Tashu Karatarba. He says very sarcastically, he said, it should only be the will that you shall allow Tarba. Tarba is Chelev. Chelev is a forbidden section of animals. They call it often forbidden fats. So you can see how he was being very sarcastic, that according to you, that the story you're telling me, that Rava changed his mind and allowed the widow whose young child just died, that she's not considered bound to the Yavam, you're allowing her to marry someone else, well, then allow fats, forbidden fats as well. Rebuta matir v'chulei. Rebuta allowed the circumcision on Shabbos of an androgynous. This we saw in the Mishnah. The androgynous is a person that has both signs of both gender signs, male and female. And Rav Yehud is of the opinion that you can do a bris milah to him on Shabbos, indicating that the androgynous is like any other male with regard to the mitzvah of milah, that on its eighth day of life it is circumcised. Omar of Shizvi, Omar of Chizda. We should point out that we have a long point. This long point you can see is marked, and it also continues till the top of Kuf Lamed Zayin Omer Aleph. So they say, Rav Shizvi in the name of Chizda says, Loi lakoil Omar Rabbi Yehuda androgynous zohar hu. Rabbi Yehuda did not say that regarding all areas of halacha, an androgynous is viewed as a male. He said this point only with regard to circumcision. She'im ata oimer kain. If you were to say that Rabbi Yehuda's approach to an androgynous is he is viewed across the boards as a male, Be'erichin ye'orech, in the realm of Erichin, he should be subject to an Erech. What is Erichin? Erichin is a section in the Torah that deals with a person donating to the Beis HaMikdash his Torah value. His Torah value is based on his gender and age, male versus female, and the age. All of the details are spelled out in the Torah. If an androgynous is viewed as a male regarding realms other than circumcision, so then Rabbi Yehuda should tell us that he's also subject to the rules of Erechin. And yet, we know, very shortly we'll see in the Gemara a Tanaic source that's in a frame, there's no name, but the Gemara will point out that it's from the Medrash on Sefer Vayikra, which is known as the Sifra, and we know that the Sifra is authored by Rabbi Yehuda. So hence we're going to be showing you a source, which is in effect Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that an androgynous is not included in the realm of Erechin, showing us that Rabbi Yehuda does not view the androgynous as a male other than with regard to circumcision. So the Gemara continues, Umenolon Delomi Arach, from where do we see that the androgynous is not subject to the rules of Erechin, to the standards of Erechin, and the called the Erechin, which is the dedication of a person's value to the Beis HaMikdash. When we say value, we mean not market value, but the Torah established value. So where do we see the androgynous is not included? Desanya, the Pasuk says, Ha Zohar. And the He is an exclusive point or letter. And Rashi says the He is a He Yisera. So we're darshaning it to exclude. Velo Tumtum Vandroginus. The word Ha Zohar says that the Zohar is subject to Erechin, but not Tumtum and Androgynous. Yochol lo yehe kerech ish, lo yehe be'erech ish, avo yehe be'erech isha. Maybe the Androgynous, the Tumtum we don't have to dwell on right now, but that's a child whose organs of gender are covered over by a membrane of some kind. We're focusing, though, on Androgynous in our discussion. So maybe it's so that he's not considered a Zohar, but Yehei Berech Isha means he would be considered having the standard we apply to a woman, which is a different, let's say, value scale, Torah value scale. Talmud Lomar, the Pasuk says, HaZohar V'im Nekevahi. And from this we say, Zohar Vadai Nekevo Vadoyes, Velo Tumtum Vandroginus. The Torah is interested in saying that only a definite male or definite female are included in Erechim, to the exclusion of Tumtum and Androgynous. Ustam, we continue at the top of Kuf Lamed Zayin Aleph, Ustam Sifra Rabbi Yehuda. We have to tie everything together, because we're analyzing this Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, so that the Tanaic source we just saw is called the Sifra, which is the Medrash on Sefer Vayikra, and it's authored by Rabbi Yehuda. So we see Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that an androgynous is not viewed as a male across the boards. The one exception where we say he's viewed as a male is with regard to circumcision. We will circumcise as we would a male, even on Shabbos, if that's its eighth day. Omar of Nachmar Yitzchok Afanan Nami Tanina. We have a Tanaic source to support this. Hakok Sher Lekadesh. Lekadesh, don't make any mistake. The word is, the Lekadesh means to prepare the Mei Poraduma. This is the waters mixed with the ashes of the red cow, which are used in purification of someone who is Tomei Meis, defiled to the dead. For our purposes, we don't have to get into any details of Mei Chatos, other than understanding the word Lekadesh is the addition of the ashes to water drawn from a live spring. So everyone is fit, is capable, is eligible for Lekadesh, Chutz Micheirish Shoyte V'Koton, with the exception of a Cheirish, a deaf mute, a Shoyte, an imbecile, and a Koton, a minor. Rabbi Yehuda, and here we want to start emphasizing things, and we do this with our markings. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir B'Koton U'Poisil B'Isha V'Androgynous. Rabbi Yehuda says that a Koton is eligible for Kiddush Mei Chatos, And who is excluded? A woman and the androgynous. What do we see for our purposes? The androgynous, as far as Rebuta is concerned, is equated with a woman. And and according to Rebuta, they are not eligible for Kiddush Mei Chatos. Shema Minos, so from here we see what we've been saying all along, and that is that Rabbi Yehuda does not have the perception of an androgynous as being a male across the boards, all only with regard to Mila does he say it's viewed as a male. Umay shno Mila. So here the Gemara asks the obvious question: what is the difference between Mila and everything else? That in the case of Mila, all of a sudden we say the androgynous, Rabbi Yehuda says, is considered a male. The answer to that is Mishum Dechtiv Himo Lechem Kol Zohar. This is an inclusionary expression, Kol Zohar, all males. It doesn't say in the passage just Himo Lechem Zohar, but rather Kol Zohar, all. So the all is inclusive of the androgynous as well, as he is subject to the standard dinim of circumcision, which led to Rabbi Yehuda's saying that he will be circumcised even if his eighth day falls out on a Shabbos. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.